Hello and welcome. We're now going to begin our class exercise on So You Want to Start a Business. This is all about wrapping up the formation of a corporation and how we bring that into a real world circumstance by doing a class exercise on how you start a business and what thought processes you go through and what steps you take to be able to do that. The first thing that you think about when you want to start a business is, what kind of business do you want to start? You research your ideas. Is that a good business plan? Is that the way I want to live the rest of my life, or at least this portion of it? Is this what I want to do with my time? So you think about what kind of business you might want to start. That's your first question. Because if you enjoy what you're doing, you're more likely to be successful at it. If you're going to make a lot of money at what you're doing, you're going to enjoy it more. So the first question you ask is, what kind of business do I want to start? Let's just give you an example of some of the things that are out there. One of the things, and all of you are students now, because that's one of the things you're doing, why obviously online businesses these days are going great gangbusters. Why? Because of the fact that with COVID-19 occurring, you don't have as much face-to-face interaction. Not only that, the whole world is kind of changing with respect to the way that business models are being delivered. So why don't we think about starting a business whereby we deliver some kind of valuable product over the internet? Now, there's a lot of platforms that allow you to do that. Do you want to deliver it by video? Udemy, which is a video instructional type of platform, allows you to do that. You can also do it through things like YouTube. But you also want to control your content. So maybe you'd rather go to the route of podcasting. These are things you think about. You write a business plan based upon the research that you do. How much money can I make if I do Udemy? How much money can I make if I go YouTube? By selling advertising? Should I just put it up on Facebook? How do I deal with this? In order to maximize your return, you develop a marketing plan. You research these issues. You develop financial projections. And the better those are, the more successful your business is going to be. You want to learn the product you're going to deliver. You want to know it cold. And you want to know how to best deliver that. Once you get it there, you want to do an instructional series of videos. You've heard that Udemy allows you to break that down to a number of videos and that you can get paid by each video watched. So rather than having to go out and sell advertising for it, you decide to use that platform. And you decide what you're going to use to broadcast on those videos, and you want to do it so that it is successful. You learn your product, you learn your service, you do research on Udemy on how to actually best market on that platform, on what is selling best on that platform, and you do research and investigation. You're at that point now when you're ready to go. You know what you want. So you have to name your business. Now, if you want to create a business, you have to decide what kind of business you take. So you decide that you're going to name it something cute. Knowledge is Power Videos. That's what you're going to call your business. And you want to see if your name is available. You go to your local county clerk's office, and yes, it is available for a DBA, a doing business as, which is something that you do if you're a sole proprietor. So nobody else in that county can steal that name. But you're going to be putting it on a national platform. So you want that platform to be unique. So you decide you're either going to go the route of a corporation or an LLC, because once you do, somebody else isn't going to as easily steal your name. You reserve your name with the Office of the Secretary of State so that, depending on whether you go the corporate route or the LLC route, that name is available. And you register it with the Secretary of State to be able to keep it available and keep your options open. Do I want to do an LLC, a limited liability company, or a corporation? Now, in order to do either one of those, they really are best formed with attorneys or a corporation service. Either whether you're doing an LLC or a corporation, those services will help you. Attorneys know the forms they have to file. Corporation services or an LLC service knows how to complete them. So you retain them for a small fee to say, hey, I'm interested in forming this business and I want your advice and your assistance. So the next step is, okay, which one are you going to select? You've already decided that the sole proprietorship is not for you because you're going to do this on an international platform. Udemy goes all over the world. It's on the internet. And if you only reserve your name of whatever company you create locally, which is all you can do with a DBA, it doesn't do you much good or provide much protection. Similarly, you don't have partners here that you're going to be able to engage, so a partnership really isn't in the works. So you want to know, should you do an LLC or a corporation? The LLC provides limited liability as well as does the corporation. It's smaller, it's more nimble than a corporation, and it's generally less expensive. But you have great dreams, and you believe that your business is going to take off immeasurably. You have some capital issues that you want to raise money and get investors to be able to do it. And with an LLC, those investors get not only a share of the company like a shareholder, but get the ability to manage the company, which you really don't want to share that. So you decide to go down the road of the corporation. It's not that much more expensive. And as a result of that, you're going to form a corporation. This is not a scenario which you are going to franchise. It's not a McDonald's. It's not a gas station. It's not something where you're going to use uniform products and deliver a uniform service similar to everybody else. This is something that's individually catered and designed by you. So you are going to go with the corporation form of government. What do you do? Well, in order to do a business corporation, the first thing you want to do is identify and engage promoters. Promoters are the persons, if you remember, who go out and meet with investors and sell subscriptions for your stock. That raises capital so you're able to do your business. And what capital needs do you have? Well, you want to build a film studio because you're going to be producing content that's going to go online. You want it to be high quality. You want it to have a wonderful appearance online. You want to be able to do different things with editing of the program. So you want to be able to have high-speed computers. You have some capital costs. So you want to raise substantial money. You want to start identifying investors. Promoters will do that. You're going to need incorporators. You're going to need subscribers. Subscribers are investors. You're going to need to draft and file an article or a certificate of incorporation. And you got to comply with the organizational requirements of the business corporation law. Well, the first thing you want to do is get the promoters out there to start raising money. Because if you can't get any promoters, you're not going to be able to sell the sufficient number of shares to raise the money to kick off the business. So you get promoters, and you also start thinking about potential directors and officers. Why? Because once you start this corporation, you're going to need to have those people run and manage the company. So you go out first and foremost and find promoters. These are good salespeople who will sell your wonderful idea of this wonderful concept to bring it up on Udemy. And you've decided that you're going to engage people with this fabulous idea. The promoters go out and they get a whole bunch of subscribers. The internet is hot. This delivery system is right. Udemy has been very successful. There's a bunch of cases out there where people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year using this platform by doing video presentations. So you get those promoters and they get subscriptions. They get subscriptions of stock to be able to raise you $200,000 at the time of your issuance. That should be enough to get offices, to hire some employees, to hire the lawyers that you need. All of that should be able to be sufficient dollars. And you hire some people who want to come in on your project. They are people who you trust. You would make them partners if it was a partnership, but instead you make them incorporators. You're going to make them directors alongside with you. And as a result of this, you make them incorporators and you make them directors when that time comes. You turn around and hire the attorneys. And they draft your certificate of incorporation. They in turn retain a corporation firm, which will turn around and actually fill out all the paperwork that is required by the Secretary of State and help work with the attorneys to draft a certificate of incorporation. You look all these papers over because this is your company and you want to make sure it's successful. And you turn around and say, you know, I want this to have a perpetual life. I want to be able to make sure that this corporation can do anything because not only do I want it to be able to make Udemy videos, but I want to be able to do spin-offs where I can sell products that might be featured in the video someday. So you put in that catch-all clause within the powers of the certificate of incorporation saying, I want to have this corporation be able to do anything which is legal under the business corporation law. So you have that residuary powers clause within it. You make it a perpetual corporation without an end date because you're hopeful that your heirs many years from now will be able to run and operate this corporation for their benefit. You've identified the investors and your promoters have sold $200,000 worth of stock. which is 200,000 shares at the value of $1 a share. You turn around and you're going to be purchasing 300,000 shares, and you're going to do it by means of providing labor for 3 years for the corporation as its chief executive officer. You're not going to take a salary. You're going to in turn get stock options, which you're entitled to do. That subscription goes to labor rather than to cash money. You turn around and have the certificate, the $125 filing fee, all the ancillary papers that have to do. You reserve the name, so you have to show the name that you reserved, and you file that with the Office of Secretary of State. When you file that on September 20th, you find out that the date of that corporation's existence comes into existence on September 20th. Because remember, that corporation comes into existence on the date of the filing. So now that you've filed it, you give 10 days notice to all of the other incorporators who are helping you with this project, who are also going to go on to become your board members. You give them 5 days notice that on September 30th, you're going to hold a organizational meeting. And on that date, you turn around and have all the incorporators come into a room, as well as the promoters who were there with the subscriptions. You call the organizational meeting to order, and you notify the subscribers and potential directors and the potential officers that this meeting is going to occur so that they have it there. The first step you're going to do is you're going to issue the stock. The investors all get the $200,000 worth of shares that they have purchased for a dollar a share. You get the 300,000 shares that you're getting as a result of the labor contract that you have with the corporation. You're also going to turn around pursuant to the corporation's certificate, issue 500,000 shares in treasury stock. That means there's a total of 1 million shares of the corporation. You have 300,000, the other investors have 200,000. So you have control of that corporation as long as you own the majority of shares. Now, if you start selling that treasury stock, you got to remember, don't sell more than your control of the company. And you want to always have more than 50%, because otherwise you could lose control of the company you start. After you issue the stock, you're going to hold elections of the shareholders for the boards of directors. You put on, now obviously because you have 300,000 shares and the rest of the people have 200 of all the other investors, you're going to have the votes to put on the board who you wish to, because you control the votes. Remember, every share of stock gets one vote. So you have 300,000 votes and everybody else has 200,000. Because the 500,000 votes of treasury stock do not get activated until they're sold to a shareholder. While they're in the treasury of the corporation, they don't vote. So as a result, there is a total of 500,000 votes for who gets picked as the board of directors. That board of directors is elected by a majority vote. You cast your vote, the other 200,000 cast their vote, and at the end of the day, the people you want win because you have 300,000 shares of stock. After the board of directors is elected, and they're unanimously elected because the 200,000 of the investors don't care who's on the board at this point in time. They just want a good, capable board, and the board members you have selected are good, capable, knowledgeable people. So they get unanimously elected by all of the shareholders, and you then turn around and call a meeting of the board of directors. The board of directors adopts resolutions. The board of directors' first resolution is appointing officers of the corporation. Their first appointment appoints you as the chief executive officer. You're going to be the person who is the primary staff person to run the corporation. And remember, in return for your pay on that, you got 300,000 shares of stock. They're also going to do a resolution appointing a bank to put that $200,000 worth of money into a bank account. And they're going to authorize the account and the lawyers and the accountants and the people who they wish to hire to manage the money on behalf of the board of directors. They're also going to adopt a resolution establishing the initial bylaws. You have the certificate of incorporation, which is the constitution of the corporation, but you need statutory issues too. And those statutory issues are the way that the board wants to see that the corporation operates. That the corporation is going to do at least 16 videos a year, that they're going to try and have a financial assistant who's going to come in to do the books over and above the accountants, and they're going to, that financial assistant also is a marketing specialist, and they're going to try and assist you with the marketing of your company and your advertising. That's a one-stop shopping. They're not the same as your accountants who oversee the books, but they're people who look to try and see if they can maximize the profit of the corporation. You identify and establish accounting, bookkeeping, taxes, payroll systems. You know you're going to have to hire some people. You're going to have to hire people to be able to do your, now through contracts probably, maybe not employees out of the gate, but you're going to have people to be able to do your computer systems, develop a website, all the things that you're going to need to operate your company. You also are going to need to purchase business insurance because there could be issues of liability. Directors don't all know what they're doing. The officers may not all know what they're doing because it's a brand new business. You also need to obtain all federal, state, and local licenses, permits, and permissions. You may not think this is the case, but you also need to know with your legal team that you're not violating any intellectual property laws. And that's an important issue because you don't want to get sued right out of the box for violating intellectual property. You know you're going to need some office space and you have to obtain and contract for that. You need to do research and development for all your employments that you will have. You're eventually going to need a secretary to open all the mail. You're going to need someone to contract with Udemy to be able to do that, who's expert on online contracting. You're going to need to hire those employees. That secretary opens the mail every day or goes through your email every day because you got too many other things to do to bring up to production the new business that you have. So you're going to need some help and you're going to have to hire employees. As we said, you need to develop an online presence. Udemy looks to see what kind of online presence you have. And to the extent that you can have one as this corporation that is doing the online content, that will be beneficial to you. You want to have a good, strong marketing plan. You're said in your documents of your bylaws, then you want to produce at least 16 videos a year. How much do you want to make off of those? What are your projections? Can you make more? Should you make less? What's going to be the cost of each one of those when they're posted on Udemy? Because Udemy doesn't establish what the cost is. You do. They put in parameters, but you get to decide how much people are going to pay for that. The lower your cost, the more people will watch it, but the higher your cost, the more money you could end up making. So you have to do an analysis of that. You don't really have a supply chain, but you could have purchasing plans for things like software to be able to have those contracts, as well as computer hardware, because most of this is going to be done over the internet and online. Then you commence your business operations. You start filming, you start writing your scripts, you start providing that content that you're going to put onto the internet and upload to Udemy. You thereafter perform the regular and periodic assessments of how well you're doing. You notice after your first year that the 16 videos didn't make as much as you thought they would, but they sold better than you thought they could, which means you priced them too low. You want to grow your business and you want to comply with all the requirements. So one of the things you do is you try to raise your price on the next 16. So you'll actually make more money and hopefully keep the sales harder. Now, after year two, you notice that your revenues went up, but it wasn't proportionate. So you want to try and trial and error, decide where you're going to go. You have a very successful business, and you do those measurements and those assessments that help make it better. But the number one thing that you need to do to make your business successful, more than anything, is plan and work hard. And if you do that, you too can be the next sensation. That's an overview of how you might start a business. See you next time. Thanks so much.